There's a happy land over in that great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the soul of man shall enter and live on forevermore. Every night we'll be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody. Hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. The one who saved us, he kept us by his grace. He brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Brothers will be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy. Brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the soul of man shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout, we'll sing God. Why don't you turn around and greet your neighbor this evening? Amen.
sing our God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody. I don't know about you, I feel pretty happy tonight. Oh, we'll be happy over there. Oh, I know we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm gonna praise his name forever as I look upon his face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it, everybody. To make the devil mad. Oh, I know everybody. I know we'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Glory. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We get pretty happy over here sometimes, but I don't think we could handle to be happy in these bodies like we're going to be happy over there. Amen. If you see me just spinning and dancing around the throne, you either just let me go or join in with me. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Good to be home. I'm glad to see and hear and feel that the presence of the Lord was still with you, even though I wasn't with you. Amen. Just because I leave doesn't mean he can't be here and in Finland or wherever as well. And amen. Had some good services over there. And glad to hear you had good services back here as well. Brother Trevor was in Illinois ministering. They had good services there. So, amen. God's omnipresent. Amen. Amen. Brother Bram said many times it's the presence of God that's unrecognized. He's here. It's just whether we recognize it or not. Amen. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. One to announce before we get to the prayer request, though, that we will be having a youth Bible study Friday evening from 7:30 to 9:30. Brother Daniel Andes will be speaking at that, so I want to remember that service in prayer. And then also, we got several prayer requests. Sister Tina, we want to continue to remember her for continued recovery. Also, Brother Lauren for continued recovery from his surgery. And Sister Stephanie Duvall, her Aunt Betty has pneumonia and two broken ribs as well, and she's 83 years old, so I want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will just come on the scene and touch her. And Monica Fast, she's in the hospital, and the doctors are running tests on her heart tomorrow, so I want to remember her in prayer. I want to just continue to remember the Collins family, losing Brother Collins, or as Brother Layton pointed out, they didn't really lose him. He's still with us. He's just in another dimension, but lost that contact to be able to just go and speak to him when they wanted or go visit him and things like that. And I know that's always hard, regardless of age or circumstance. It's hard to lose a loved one, so we want to remember them in prayer. And as I like how Brother Layton pointed out as well, to remember the church there in prayer. It's hard when you've had a pastor for as many years as they have, you know, to lose a pastor. It was hard on me. You know, he was my pastor for, I guess, 30-something years, and it was hard to... Yeah, when we got the news, even though we, you know, sort of expected it at his age and everything, it's always hard to lose those soldiers of the faith. Amen. Let's just go to prayer tonight, if we would. I'm asking Brother Layton if he'd come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we spoke Sunday evening, Lord, about that throne of mercy, Now, Father, tonight we approach that throne of mercy boldly. Lord, we have these petitions, some that are spoken and some behind the hands. Lord, of Brother Collins' family and the sister that's fallen and broken some bones. And, oh, Lord, just different ones. Sister Patty, who sits here with us, we hold her up before you. And Brother Mike Eplin, Lord, and the little Peyton Bryant and so many others, Lord, on and on and on. We're a needy people, but you're a God that's more than able to answer. Lord, we've seen what you did Sunday morning and Sunday night, and not just those services, but service after service after service, that you've met us in this humble little building that you provided for us, Lord. And I trust it's because the people love one another and love you and love your word, and they come expecting something from you, Lord Jesus, a blessing, a healing, but most of all to hear your word. Now, Father, tonight, take all these requests that were read, all those that were behind the hands and upon the hearts, the loved ones, and every other need that may be there, Lord Jesus, and you answer them in your own perfect way. And may I ask, Father, and even though many are sitting here that was here Sunday night, that they, when they put those things in that bucket, may they not take them out again? May they leave them right there, oh God. I know it was a symbolic thing, Lord, and you understood it, Father, just exactly what it was about. But when we lay something at the cross, our sins or our mistakes or whatever it is that would so easily beset us, when we hand it to you, we don't need to go back and dig it up again. So, Father, may every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, leave those things right exactly where they did it that night, Lord, into the bucket and into the depths of hell where they came from, at the cross or wherever they felt it would go. But, Father, you do it, and you answer it in your precious name. We ask it according to thy glory, and continue to be here in this service. Walk the aisles between the pews. Anoint the pastor. Take control of his lips and his body, Lord, and may he say that which absolutely is needed, for only you know what's needed. But Father, everyone that has a need, they want it met. And Father, may you meet it tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Leah Leek and Anna Pierce.
All of his mercy, all of his
Sure, appreciate that. There was a lot said in that song. We have so blessed. Amen. God bless you, sisters. Appreciate that. At this time, we have a special from Sister Stephanie Duval. You sure appreciate our special singing this evening. As Brother Layton talked about Sunday night, what about his grace? Amen. It's amazing. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time. don't we stand and change position a little bit before Brother Nathan comes?
My way gets brighter and my load gets lighter, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I am going, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. You don't have to worry, you don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. For Christ walks beside me, His angels to guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, start while up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing you'll be possessing, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven, but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. We're walking up the King's highway. Oh, friend, if you're not walking, just start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. I know there'll be a blessing you'll be possessing when you're walking up the King's highway. Oh, and there's a highway up to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Oh, well, you don't have to worry, you don't have to worry when you're walking up the King's highway. Oh, Christ walks beside me, His angels will guide me when I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, and it's a highway up to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Oh, we're walking up the King's. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. It's a highway up to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Oh, we're walking up the King's highway. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you, musicians. And after the Pierce sisters finished singing their special, I was kind of feeling sorry for Sister Stephanie. And then by the time Sister Stephanie finished her special, I was feeling kind of sorry for the devil. And so, amen, certainly felt His presence here tonight during those specials. And it's good to rejoice the Lord in the Lord together, and certainly feeling His presence here. Brother Layton said he was just going to take off his coat early so he could go ahead and shout if he needed to. And so I gave him liberty to do that if he wants to. Amen. And we certainly feel freedom in the Spirit tonight.
Amen. Had a really good trip to Finland, and appreciate your prayers, appreciate the good reports and the services here, and haven't had a chance to listen to all that was said and done yet, but all the reports that I've heard and what I've heard so far has been wonderful, and appreciate Brother Layton and just the way that he approached some things in the service Sunday morning. I thought that's exactly the way I would have did it, and so I appreciated that, and it's good to have brothers that you can have confidence in. You know, we're blessed. We're blessed. You know, a lot of churches, there's contention even between the leadership and things like that, but I've got brothers that I can rely on, that when I'm gone, I don't have to stay up and bite my nails and wonder, oh my, what's going to happen. But I love the way how Brother Furman and Brother Layton and Brother Hoover and myself and the different brothers just seamlessly just are able to work in and out together, know when to step up and when to sit down, and that takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That takes more than opinions and man's ideas and trying to be something. That takes the Holy Ghost to make it all work together like that when you have a group of men, because all men are going to have slightly different ideas and slightly different things as when it comes to just the way the services are ran and things like that. But I thank God that He's given us a group of brothers that we can work together in the continuity of the Holy Spirit, the way that He's leading. And certainly, my heart goes out to the Collins family. We went to the funeral yesterday, and I was tired. I was supposed to get in at 9:30 Monday night, and they kept pushing my planes back to two or three of the flights were delayed due to weather, and so my plane finally touched down in Louisville at 3:30 in the morning, and by the time I got home, it was 4:30 in the morning, and by the time my wife updated me with the things that she had to update with me with that night of things that had happened, it was 5, and so I got about 4 hours sleep and got up and went to the funeral. So I was tired yesterday, but I was glad I was able to make it, and Satan tried to hinder. I was trying to figure out. I thought if this plane gets canceled, I'm going to get a rental car and drive from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Brother Trevor texted me and he said, "Don't do anything stupid like trying to drive home." And I said, "Well, Lord, sometimes you use men to speak as well." And so I decided already I was probably going to heed his advice. And my wife called and she said, "Brother Layton and I have already decided that you're not going to try to drive this home." And I said, "Well, I'm glad I have people making my decisions for me." But, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established, the Bible said so. But I'll try to give you a more detailed report about the trip to Finland. I haven't had time. There's a couple of video clips and some pictures and things I'd like to share with you. And I figured we'd wait for the Sunday morning crowd so that they could hear some of that as well. And I just, frankly, haven't had time to put it together anyhow. So we'll try to do some of that Sunday morning. But let's try to find some Pharisees tonight. So my wife asked me today about 2 o'clock. She said, what are we doing tonight? Are we looking for some Pharisees? And I said, I don't know. She said, you don't have a title or anything? And I said, no, I've got a few ideas, but I'm just praying and seeking the Lord. But the Lord started to lay it all together. And, you know, sometimes I've got about 20 pages worth of notes left for this series, Lord willing, but I had about 20 pages left of notes for the to be like Jesus. And just have felt not to go back to that right now. So we might pick it up again some other time later. But so I don't know. This could be the last Wednesday. We could be on it for a year. I don't know. However the Lord leads. But led to go down this path again. And then we was listening on the way here. We was listening to some singing, and that song "Highway to Heaven" came on. And Philip said, "We sing this at church, don't we?" And I said, "Yeah." And then we got to church, and Brother Furman sang it. So. I like those little confirmations, you know.
Right.
That may seem like something simple to somebody, but the Lord just seems like He constantly does that. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight to Mark chapter 3. While you're turning, I want to share this little story. Brother Billy Paul says preachers are terrible about stealing things from people, so I'm going to steal something from him tonight. But for those of you who's at the funeral, you've already heard this. But for those of you that wasn't, maybe you haven't heard it. But he said there was a group of children that was sitting together in Arizona. I think they were having some services there, and in between services, some children got in a little circle, and they was sitting there talking, and one of the little kids just spoke up out of the blue, and he said, "Did Brother Branham say anything about dolphins?" And the kids kind of looked around, scratched their head, and thought a minute, and one little boy said, "No, I don't believe he did, but he certainly talked about the seals a lot." So I thought that was cute. Amen. I also like what Brother Billy said about Brother Collins. He said, "I don't know how it'll happen." He said, "But if you know, when you close your eyes and you open them and you're in a different body or however it'll be," he said, "if you look around and you don't see Brother Collins," he said, "you got off at the wrong stop." So I thought that was good. Amen. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, oh, surely not. Most people in the denominations don't ever preach a Jesus of anger. Now, they preach a Jesus of love and that everything's okay and that he loves you and you can just do what you want. But we don't hear about the Jesus of anger very much. But he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you would come and take complete control of this service tonight. Lord, may you have preeminence in everything that is said and that is done. Lord, may it bring glory to you. Lord, we come to lift you up on high, Lord, tonight, not to lift ourselves up, but to lift you up before men, because you said in your word, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. And Lord, we come for no other motive than just to lift you up, Father, and to worship you and to learn more about you, Father. Lord, we come together. We come expecting, Father. And we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the miracles that we see you performing. And we thank you for all that, Lord, you're continuing to do. Thank you for your presence that we feel here tonight, Lord. It's already been good to be at church, Lord. But as we enter into the word, we just ask that you would help us to have a better understanding, Lord, of how that we should live and what we should do and what would be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, anoint me to speak what you would have me to say. Help me to get so out of the way, Lord, that I could become transparent to where the people wouldn't look at me and see a man or a personality, but they would just hear the word as it goes forth, Lord, from the quotes and the scriptures. Lord, may you speak to us again tonight, Lord. We're needy and we need you again tonight, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It's a strange ending, I think, to this story. We pick up this story on the Sabbath day. And here they are in the synagogue. They had come to church. And you would think, coming to church, they would have come with expectations that God was going to do something. But they come to church, and there's a man, he had a withered hand. He couldn't use it. It was drawn up. Maybe he had had a stroke, or maybe he had had an injury. Maybe he was born that way. I don't know exactly, but all I know is his hand was withered. And Jesus comes in, and he's in their midst on the Sabbath day, and they've heard how he's healed the sick and the mighty miracles that he's done. And they look around, and they wonder if he's going to try to heal this man on the Sabbath. Now, you would think that'd be a good time to do it, but their traditions had them so locked down that God forbid that he would try to lift his hand to heal somebody on the Sabbath. And so he begins to ask them, and now, is it okay to do something good on the Sabbath, or is it better to do something evil? If you had the power to heal somebody, would it be better to let him sit and you know, so that you didn't do anything on the Sabbath and let him stay in that condition, or is it better to do something that's good? And they didn't want to answer him because they knew that their answer would bring judgment, what they really believed in their heart, so they just kept quiet. At least they had that much sense. But he turns around and he speaks to the man. He says, stretch forth thine hand. And this man, you know, I don't know, the Bible doesn't give us a timeline, but you know, maybe it had been 15 years, maybe it had been 20 years, maybe it had been 30 years, I don't know how long, but for the first time in many years, this man begins to stretch forth that hand and is able to move it. And you would have thought, my, to see something like that take place in church, we would be running the aisles and shouting and dancing, and we would be feeling the presence of God and giving him glory. And they looked at it and they found fault with it. They looked at this power of God that he had placed in a human tabernacle that he was dwelling in, and they found fault with this mighty thing that he had done in their midst. It was because of jealousy, and it was because it wasn't according to their tradition. It wasn't the way that they expected it to come, and they were so set in their ways to see something that just wasn't exactly, you know, well, we're going to do it this way, and we're going to have this amount of songs, and we're going to have this amount of prayer requests, and we're going to have this amount of specials, and we're going going to go two steps forward and three steps backwards, and this is how we're going to do it. It was so out of the ordinary for them that all they could do is look and find fault when God had done something supernatural in their midst. Amen. What a sad thing. And their reaction wasn't to come to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord, for healing this man. We've taken him to doctors and we've tried to pray over him. We've done all these things, but to no avail. And just a few minutes in your presence, and look what has taken place." They should have came down and laid at his feet and worshiped him for the mighty works that he was doing in their midst. But instead, they found fault. And the Bible said they went and began to plan with the Herodians how they could destroy him. Now, the Herodians were not their friends. Them and the Herodians were not on the same page, but yet because they had found a common enemy, they begin to get together and to make a plan against him. Isn't that sad that something evil could bring unity? That an evil plan, something evil in their heart could bring unity among them? That they would go, and the Herodians and the Pharisees, they did have this in common. They both wanted to see, Jerusalem and they wanted to see the Israelites to be in their own ruling. They wanted to have them as their own rulers instead of Rome ruling over them. But the Herodians wanted to lift up the Herodian dynasty to be the rulers over them. And the Pharisees wanted to reestablish the kingdom of David, to have the lineage of Judah to rule over them. And so they had two different agendas, but in both of their agendas they had this problem: we've got to get rid of this man, because this man is going to bring Rome down harder upon us than it already is. And to get to where we're headed, we've got to get rid of this man. We've got to stop him. And with all the mighty works that he was doing and the very scriptures that they would sit there and quote, and the Herodians, they were converted Jews. They weren't infidels. And they would sit there and quote the same scriptures that the Pharisees would, and both of them prophesying of a Messiah that was to come, and stand there and see him manifested in the flesh doing things that they couldn't perform. And they looked at it and they despised it. When they should have received it, they should have embraced it. They should have thanked God for finally sending the thing that they had waited for in their midst, and they sat there and found fault. Going beyond the camp, 1964, Brother Branham says, one day he walked among them again, but their traditions had so took his place among them, he was a stranger to them. Their traditions had so took his place among them that instead of lifting him up, they lifted their traditions up. Instead of lifting God up and giving God the preeminence to move, they were held by their traditions. Instead of lifting the word up and saying, "Lord, whatever the word would produce, whatever the spirit would produce, whatever move you would have among us, that's what we want." If it wasn't according to their traditions, they didn't want it. You could sit there and quote it to them and say, "But the word of Moses says this, and Isaiah promised this, and Zechariah said it'd be this way." And they'd say, "But our traditions say this." Those spirits don't die. You know, in fact, I find there in Finland or Georgia or Florida or South Carolina or wherever you go, spirits don't die. Their traditions had took his place among them, had so took their his place among them, he was a stranger to them. The traditions of the fathers had washing pans and the way to groom their hair and wear the certain buttons on their coat. And there's certainly priest robes. And one is a staunch Pharisee and the other one is a staunch Sadducee. And that had taken the place of the word among those men, till when God visited them, he was a foreigner. I wonder how many people, even around the message, if God was really to come down in a service and visit them, if it would be foreign to them. If he would begin to move and people would begin to shout and speak in tongues and dance in the spirit, if they would look and find fault like they did on the sands of Galilee, because it would be foreign to them, because it didn't come according to their program. The world is falling apart. 1963. When the Jew come down the road with his bullock or his lamb to go offer it for a sacrifice, and he did it from the bottom of the heart, of his heart, was a great thing, he says. You know, in the Old Testament, under Levitical law, they had a sacrifice. They had an atonement. Now, it wasn't like the sacrifice that we have, because when Jesus came to earth and sacrificed himself, it was once and for all. He doesn't have to come and die again. If you make a mistake, he doesn't have to come back and give his life again to forgive you for that mistake. But once and for all, he gave a free gift, and it's a continual sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ still remains, as we talked about, as a bumper between your sin and God. And so it was a one-time sacrifice with him, but in the Old Testament, it was a continual sacrifice that the priests would have them bring their lamb lamb. The individual Israelites, they would bring a lamb for their family and for their sins, and they would place it upon the altar, and the priest would get out a knife and he would begin to hack and to cut at the throat of this little lamb, and it would bleat and it would blate, and the blood would begin to spurt out of its throat, and the worshiper would come and place his hands upon the bleeding, blading lamb, and as it would quiver and die and bleat, they would place their hands upon it, and the blood would seep through their fingers, and they were being identified with their sacrifice. That it was suffering where it was really their place that they should have suffered. Where it was dying where really it should have been their place to die. And that was its blood that was being shed when it should have been their blood that was being shed. And they were identified with this sacrifice. And how maybe it was hard for them even to look upon this. That here this little lamb didn't do anything to deserve this death. But by the commandment of God, as a sacrifice for their sins, they were sacrificing this to take away their reproach when the lamb had no reproach of his own. And they were identified with this. And it was such a sincerity and such a humbleness of heart when they would begin to come and do this, to recognize that one that wasn't guilty took my guilt. And one that didn't have sin was taking my sin. And it was a thing of sincerity. And maybe he would raise up that lamb from an infant little lamb. And he would raise it up to the age that it needed to be. And he would look upon it. And he would take it out of the flock one day. And he would carry it under his arm. Where are you going? I'm going down to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. I'm going down to give this lamb as a sacrifice for my sins and for the sins of my family. And he would walk along and he would hear the bleating of this lamb and he would walk along with it there, and he became identified with this lamb. It had been a part of his family. He had raised it from a baby, and now he's going to take this lamb and sacrifice it upon the altar. And it was something that he did out of sincerity. But as years went by, it became something that the next generation did because, well, that's how mommy and daddy did it. And that's how grandma did it and how grandpa did it. And this is just what we've always done since we was 9 years old. We walked down to Jerusalem and sacrificed a lamb. And maybe you moved to the city and you didn't have a lamb farm anymore. And maybe you didn't raise the lamb anymore yourself, but you went down and bought it for somebody. Or if you was real busy, you just had somebody go down as a proxy for you and sacrifice the lamb for you, because your schedule really wouldn't allow for that. He says, when the Jew come down the road with his bullock or his lamb to go offer it for a sacrifice, and he did it from the bottom of his heart, was a great thing. But after a while, it become a family tradition. They just went down and offered the bullock, and well, it's getting time for sacrifice. Getting time for the sacrifice, so we'll just go and offer this certain bullock. It become a tradition. I'm almost persuaded, he says, to believe that that's what's happened to our Christian system. I want to say tonight that that isn't just out in the Christian realm or the nominal realms, but I'm almost convinced that that's what seeped right in around the message, is that it has become a tradition, and it's just become a going through the motions that, well, we do this because mommy did it, and we do it because daddy did it, and we do it because brother so-and-so said to do it. We do it because it's Wednesday night, or because it's Sunday morning, or because it's Sunday night, or we do it because it's communion, or we do it because of this or because of that. It has to be more of a sincerity than that. It has to be more of a sincerity through that, or it's just a going through of the motions, just a tradition, just as much of a stench in the nostrils of God as the sacrifice had become. All things, 1962. See, there was no godly sorrow for his sin. It was only a ritual, just a ritualistic form of taking his animal for offering. He never got nothing out of it, because he never put nothing in it. I'll just say it again tonight. That's why many of us sit and don't get anything out of the church service. You don't get anything out of it because you didn't put anything into it. And if you're a little too tired, you can stay home and archive it later. Or if you're a little too sleepy, you can find the tape that we played and listen to it again some other time. Or if you're a little too sick and you got a little sniffle, well, we'll just stay home tonight. You don't get anything out of it because you don't put anything into it. And it's a little hard for me to say that to the Wednesday night crowd, because I feel like you do. But there's many that don't. There's many that don't. Oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult. We've got once a month Christians, and we've got Sunday morning Christians, and we've got Easter Christians, and we've got Christmas Christians. But I thank God that there's still a group of people that come out in sincerity to worship God.
Amen.
He never got nothing out of it because he never put nothing in it.
Yet he was obeying the commission of God by his word, but he didn't come in the real meaning of his word. He was obeying it as far as being fundamentally, he obeyed it, but sincerely he didn't obey it. Therefore, it was just a ritual following a tradition. You mean we could follow the word of God and still be out of his will? Absolutely. Amen. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even the more as we see the day approaching, as is the manner of some. But yet if you just come out because, well, it's just Wednesday night and this is just what we do, this is what my parents did and what my grandparents did, and if I missed church when I didn't have to, they'd maybe raise from the grave and slap me and tell me to get to church, or maybe the deacons would call me and wonder where I was at, and oh, I'd be so ashamed to tell them that I stayed home to watch U of L play, or I stayed home to watch U of K play, or I had this going on or that going on that was so much more important to me than church. So you come out of guilt or you come out of shame. It better be more than that. It better be more than tradition. It better be more than legalism. It better be more than a guilt trip. It better be that there's a sincerity in your heart that you can't wait for those church doors to open. There was a time I couldn't say that, but I can honestly say that God is doing so much when I'm here in town that I can't wait for the church doors to open, because I don't want to miss maybe something that he would do. Amen. We've seen him heal people, and we're looking for him to heal others. And I'd hate to hear back, oh, you know, I had a little sniffle tonight, and so I just stayed home. And, oh, you should have been there. Brother so-and-so got healed. Sister so-and-so got the Holy Ghost. This happened and that happened. This one laid their burdens down, and this one got saved, and this one got baptized. And I think, oh, my, I've been waiting for that. I've been praying for that. And here I was. I could have been there, and I missed it. A sincerity, something that you just can't hardly stay away. You know, I've tried, Brother Trevor, all night not to say this, because he told me, he said, we'll hear that again, when I told it to him on the phone the other day. And I've tried to stay away from it, and just keeps pulling me back and pulling me back and pulling me back. So here goes. I was in Finland, and Brother Layton told you the testimony Sunday morning. There was a lady that came up in the prayer line, and for 24 years she had had thyroid problems. And for 23 years she'd had chronic pain in her ear. And she had begun to have chronic pain in her eyes just recently, and she was concerned. And there was quite a few people that came up in the prayer line Saturday evening, and God did some wonderful things. I might share you more about it on Sunday morning. But as she came up into the prayer line, she told me about her ear and her eyes, and she couldn't think of the translator couldn't think of a finished word. Actually, in the prayer line initially, she didn't even say anything about the thyroid. She just said her ears and her eyes. But as she came up for prayer, I took the prayer cloth that Brother Branham had prayed over, and I put it upon her ear, and I began to pray and to ask God to give her a healing and to move on the scene for her. And after service, as she came out, she said, Brother Nathan, she spoke kind of broken English, but she said, when you was praying for me, she said, there was a hot sensation that started in my throat, and she was trying to tell me this word of another sickness that she had, and she couldn't get a word for it. So we got one of the translators, and he didn't have a word for it, and so she just said, well, I had another problem. We found out later through another interpreter that she had thyroid problems for 24 years, and she said, right there in my throat where the thyroid problem was, she said, there began to be a hot sensation, and she said, it went from there, and it went all the way up through my face and into my head, and she said, when it passed by my ear, that pain left completely, and it went on out through the top of my head. God's still God. Whether we're in America, whether we're in Finland or Switzerland or Africa or wherever we're at, God's still God. Amen. And so she began to glorify God for what he had done. She said, it's been 23 years since I've been pain-free. And she said, I'm healed. And she said, I believe if he took away the pain from my ear since it started down here, then I'm healed of the thyroid problems as well. Well, the next day her husband came to service, and he's one of these guys like we see, you know, from Canada and America and all around, that he's decided that, you know, the Brother Branham came to call us out of the churches. And so he approached me after service and began to tell me his spiel. I said, look, sir, I said, Brother Branham never called us out of the churches. He called us out of the denominations. Called us out of the denominations. He said, oh, no, Brother Branham said this on this tape and this on that tape. He said, what church would I send him to? This one just has as many problems as the next one, all these things. I said, that's true. He did say that. And I've got 22 other pages of quotes where he said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, it makes you go to church. Where he said that if you really have the love of God in your heart, you couldn't chain you away from church. Where he said, if you're really a Christian, that you love to go to church as much as you love your necessary food. He said, oh, yes, yes, I know all those quotes. I've studied the message. I've read it since 1987. I said, really? I have too.
I said, well, you know, I began to talk to him, and, you know, he didn't want his wife to come to church, you know. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, here she sat under you for however many years, and you haven't done anything for her. And one night in a service with us, and God heals her for something that she's had for 24 years, you should be coming and saying, thank you, brother, for praying for my wife. But so demon-possessed, and I don't hesitate to say it, because nothing but a demon-possessed spirit would do that. You know, at least one of the 10 lepers came back and said, thank you. But the rest of them just went on, you know. You should be saying, thank you, brother, for praying for my wife. God did something for her that all her years under my garbage and lies hasn't done for her once. But one time in the presence, not of Nathan Bryant, but of Jesus Christ. One time in an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost was moving, and when testimonies were going forth of God's healing and she was delivered, I thought, yeah, it must be terrible that she would come to a church like this. Must be terrible. Nothing that he could produce on his own. And yet criticizing the very thing. I thought, I've seen this spirit before somewhere in the scriptures. In fact, I've seen it around Jeffersonville. And he began to go on his spiel how, you know, we're supposed to come out of the churches and not go to church anymore and all this. I said, sir, have you ever read the Apostle Paul's writings? He said, well, of course I have. I said, well, did you ever read where he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? He said, certainly. But he said, Brother Branham took us higher than St. Paul. Paul taught that, but Brother Branham didn't teach that. I said, oh, really? He said, yes, yes, that's how it is. Brother Branham took us higher. We don't follow Paul anymore. We follow Brother Branham. And I said, well, you said that you've been reading the message since 1987. I said, have you ever gone back and read there where Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time? Of course I have. All right, well, that's wonderful, brother. Well, when he went beyond the curtain of time there, he told the people, he said that all that Paul taught, that's what I taught. And I said, so you make Brother Branham a liar if you say that he taught something different than what Paul taught. Oh, no, no, I'm not making Brother Branham a liar. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yes, you are. By your statement, you're making him a liar because you're contradicting what he said. Of course, then he didn't like that and he walked off because he couldn't think of anything else to say. But these guys that, you know, he knows a little bit more English than some of the rest of them, so he's a pushover to push, you know, everybody else just blast him with quotes and things. And many of them, they don't have very many quotes in English. And so he pushes them around. I thought, I'm not going to let you push me around. I've dealt with your spirit all over America. No surprise to find it here in Finland.
Amen.
No surprise. Being fundamentally, he obeyed it, but sincerely, he didn't obey it. Therefore, it was just a ritual following a tradition. You mean we could come and say, I believe the message, and Brother Bram said to do this, and I do it, and Brother so-and-so said to do that, and I do it, and the Bible says this, and I do it, and it could just mean nothing to us? That's what he said the Jews were doing. They were doing exactly what the law of Moses said. They were getting their lamb, and they were coming, and they were sacrificing it every year. And by the letter of the law, they were doing exactly what the word said. And Jesus come, and he said, it's become a stench in the nostrils of God. Why? Because it wasn't out of sincerity. It was a list of rules and checks and do's and don'ts. And you know, we do it because mommy taught us, and because daddy taught us, and because we wouldn't want anybody to think less of us. That's got to be more than that. It's got to be a sincerity. If it was just our good works and we could have a list that was good enough and we could have works that were good enough and us in our own self-righteousness could do it on our own, then why on earth would Jesus Christ come and give his life for us if that's all that we needed to do? Therefore, he says it was just a ritual following a tradition. Again, in the token in 1963, it became a place you could buy a lamb, get somebody else to offer it for him. It became a creed. It became a dogma in the church. And God said the very sacrifice that he required become a stink in his nose because it was offered without sincerity. Amen. I mean, we could come to church and sing the songs of Zion. We could get up here and preach the gospel. We could get up here and play a tape. We could get up here and read the quotes. We could get up here and do exactly letter by letter and line by line and go through the motions and take communion and foot washing and get baptized and it be a stench in God's nostrils. If you just do it out of tradition, it can. If you just do it because mommy and daddy said so, or because the pastor said so, or even because Brother Branham said so, that's not enough. It has to be a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ, that he has come and he is not just a legalistic taskmaster to tell you what to do and what not to do, but he has come and he is living on the throne of your heart, that you don't want to do those things anymore.
Amen.
That you've laid them down, as Brother Branham, as Brother Layton said Sunday night, just come and toss them in the bucket. I like what he did because it kind of got you out of your comfort zone a little bit. It was something a little different. It wasn't just some ritual of going through the same thing. You know, we're not going to sit a bucket out here every service for a tradition and that become a tradition. But it's good to do things like that every once in a while symbolically to get us out of our tradition. Amen. We've sat, you know, many times in church services, and if you're not careful, it becomes the same thing in and out and up and down, and then you can begin to predict, well, this is going to take place, and that brother's going to do this, and this brother's going to say that, and it just becomes a tradition to us. But, oh, I hope we can approach God in more sincerity than that. Amen. Than just a going through of the motions and just a, well, this is what's on the program tonight, so this is what it is. Oh, I hope God can get us out of our program a little while.
Amen.
St. John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Not just some agenda that we do to get up and, well, it's 9:30, this is the time that I pray and read my Bible, and that's all right. I'd rather see you do that than not read and pray at all. But if you're just getting up to do it because it's what's on your calendar, and you're just getting up to do it because some brother told you to or because your parents trained you that way, I hope you're not doing what they did back here in the Old Testament and it's become a stench in God's nostrils because they're just doing that out of habit. Like they would bite their fingernails or like they would go and turn off the light switch at night or something. They're just doing it because it's become a habit to them that this is just what we do. May God's grace keep us from it ever becoming Amen. Just a habit. To come to church or just a habit to read our Bible or just some ritualistic something to get down on our knees at night and pray to God because, well, this is just what we do because Brother Bram said a Christian reads his Bible and prays every day. I thank God that he told us that, but if that's the only reason we're doing it, then it's a stench in God's nostril.
Amen.
Everyone that's born of the Spirit is led by the Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God could speak to you and lead you to do something. Maybe you would say, God, I don't know if I can do that. God, I don't know. That man up there on that platform told me to go up and lay my burdens in a bucket. I don't know if I can do that or not. And maybe God say, you need to go do something. You need to lay them somewhere. You've dragged them around for 37 years. It's time for you to put them somewhere.
Amen.
And you say, but brother, but God, that's... Now, it's just not my personality to do that. It's not my personality to walk up to the front of the church. And maybe he would speak back and say, well, is it in your personality to go to hell, hanging on to those things that are dragging you that way? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. I'd like to say tonight, I think we've rallied around the mountain and marched in the desert in circles for 40 years long enough. I think it's time that we change directions a little bit. Amen. Don't worry. I'm not talking about anything fanatical or anything off the word. I'm just saying it's time that we get out of our comfort zone. It's time that we allow the Spirit of God to move us and work in us and do whatever he would have us to do, whether it's in our comfort zone or whether it's according to our personality or not.
Amen.
It wasn't in Gideon's personality to go with a little bitty army and try to take on all of Midian. It was against his personality. His personality had him hiding in the threshing floor, trying to thresh a little bit of wheat and look for a Philistine and hide and thresh a little and look for a Philistine. And God sent an angel down and said, thou mighty man of valor. He said, that's not my personality. He said, oh, you just don't know what you're going to do. Oh, no, I'm the least of my family, and I'm the least emotional, and I'm the least rich, and I'm the least spiritual, and I'm the least this, and I'm the least that. God said, yeah, that's exactly the kind that I can use.
Right.
Amen. You've got less to get out of the way so I can get a hold of you and use you.
Amen.
Be not afraid, 1961, but we have to make about 35 different organizations too. He's coming on a white cloud. No, bless God, he's coming on a white horse. What difference does it make anyhow as long as he's coming, he says.
Amen.
Oh, sounds like he's talking about some message people to me, you know. Got to organize this and this camp over here and this group over here and this people over here. And, you know, if you're not part of this clique, you're not in. If you're not part of that clique, you're in. I'm part of the bride clique. Amen. And we're going, whether people like it or not. And it's not a church of the open door clique. It's a universal clique. that God's calling her from Zimbabwe and Switzerland and Jeffersonville and New Albany and Louisville and Clarksville and Sellersburg and oh my, Helsinki and all over the world. He's calling forth a group, and I'm part of that group. Amen. You can go if you want, or you can stay if you want, but I'm part of that group, and nobody put me in it. Nobody can take me out of it. Amen. So I'm going. Amen. Whether I'm part of your camp or not. People say, I can't figure Brother Nathan out. You know, he fellowships with that brother, and he fellowships with this brother, and I just can't figure out what camp he's with or what group he's for or what organization he stands with. I stand with an organization called the Church of the Living God. Amen. We were founded before the foundation of the world. You can't join our book. You can't put your name on it. You can't come and attend the services. But, you know, if your name was on there before the foundation of the world and you were born into it, then you're a part of it. Amen. Amen. That's the group that I belong to. Amen. We've got members all over the world. Amen. We got some down in Louisiana, some down in Tennessee, some up in West Virginia. They may talk a little strange and read a little slow, but they're up there. We've got some over in Pennsylvania. We've got some down in Kentucky. We've got some over in Arizona and Zimbabwe and oh my, out into Ghana and out into Nigeria. They're all over. They didn't put their name there. Their name was put there. They was born into it. What difference does it make anyhow as long as he's coming? That's the thing, see. But what have we done? Stayed in the same old rut. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Receive the Holy Ghost, same old mountain for 40 years, same old routine. Now that sounds like a pretty good rut to get in, doesn't it? I wish we could get some message people as far as that rut. But he said, that's as far as you've gone. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak. What's he talking about? He's talking about Pentecostal tradition now. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Receive the Holy Ghost, same old mountain for 40 years, same old routine. Would to God we could get some message, folks, at least in that routine. But now he's going to take us a little further than that. He said, but it's time to rise. Let's go north. Jesus is coming. Let's go take every promise. You say, oh, I've received the message. I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bless God, I'll just sit back in my living room until the Lord comes. Oh my, it's great that you got that far, but once you get that far, there should be something inside of you, a deep calling to the deep, that's good, but there's more. That's good that you got that far, but there's more that lays for the bride of Jesus Christ. There's something you can do. There's somebody you can help. There's somebody you can testify to. There's a life that you can live for others to see. Don't get in a rut and say, I've arrived. No, we haven't arrived yet. I'm still breathing oxygen. My lungs are still required. My heartbeat is still required. I haven't arrived yet. When I step over into that other body, when this mortal puts on immortality, then I can say, I have arrived. But until then, I'll work for Jesus. Oh, my. Let's go take every promise. He says, hallelujah. Every promise. Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. He did speak in tongues. That's right. He did do other things also. Let's go take the promise. Hey man, I don't want to stop at a gift or a sensation or an emotion. I thank God. We've just looked at it the last 3 weeks. I thank God for emotion. I thank God that we can feel him. I thank God for tongues and prophecy. And I thank God for the ministry. And I thank God for all these things. But I don't want to just stop and say, I have arrived. I believe there's untapped resources in the Word of God. Amen. That we haven't even begun to scratch the surface for what God is going to do. I don't want to sit back and say, well, bless God, you know, God gave me this revelation back in 2007, and this is where I'm going to sit. Oh, let's turn and go northward. Don't stay in your little rut. Maybe God gave you a revelation. That was wonderful for back then, 17 years ago. There's more to be had. A lot of people get a revelation, or they get a, you know, they find a doctrine that God just blesses them with, and they just sit there and wander around the desert for 40 years, right around that tradition, and they make their little camp around their idea, or they make their little camp around their doctrine, or whatever it would be, and they rally around it, and rally around it, and rally around it, and that's good, but there's more. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than a doctrine. I thank God for the mysteries that have been revealed in this age, but God is more than just a doctrine. God is more than just a mystery. God is more than just a message book. God is more than just the pages of your Bible. Brother Branham said he's a person, and we have to have a personal experience with him. We have to know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh my. Feast of the Trumpets, 1964. The seventh angel's message called the bride out of Pentecostal tradition. There she sat. There she sat in tradition.
They'd had a restoration of the gifts. They had signs and wonders following. And my, it was a wonderful thing when it happened way back there on Azusa Street. But now a messenger had come and he was going to take them further than just feelings. He didn't do away with feelings, but he was going to take them further than feelings. He came and he was going to take them further than emotion. He didn't do away with emotion. He said, if your religion doesn't have emotion, it's dead. You might as well bury it. But he said, we got to go on further than emotion. Amen. He didn't come and say, let's just do away with tongues and prophecy and healings and wisdom and knowledge and all nine spiritual gifts. But he said, you know what? There's more to it than just that. Right. It's more than just rallying around a gift or rallying around a personality or rallying around a doctrine. There's more. Let's go northward. And he called the bride out of her Pentecostal traditions. And here we sit 50 years later. And we've gone right into our own message traditions that we've dragged out of this denomination and dragged out of that denomination. And bless God, we're not Pentecostal. We don't whoop up the music to get us dancing. We don't have to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. We don't do this. We don't do that. That's right. You came right out of that tradition and started your own. Or dragged them in from your Methodist church or your Baptist church or your Lutheran church. Away with tradition. The hand of the Lord came upon him in 1954. He said, that's the reason they failed to recognize Jesus Christ when he come. They'd read the scriptures about it, but they failed to recognize him. And it's the same thing today. We got our own ritualistic routine. Anything out of that, we don't believe it. Oh, my. We think of other churches when that comes to mind. Oh my, I think about this church over here and that church over there and their traditions. What about Church of the Open Door? We better watch that we don't get some traditions. Oh my, we've got to watch that we don't get, you know, our traditions formed. That, well, this is the way that we do it, and this is the way that we handle it, and this is the way that we say it, and this is what we do. And if Brother Nathan does this, then it means that that's going to happen. And if Brother Layton says this, or he stands up, then this is what's going to happen. And when Brother Furman does this a certain way, and if we're not careful, we'll slip right back into the things that we came out of and form our own traditions. Satan loves that. Satan loves that. Way back there in Rome, they had traditions and they clung to that, and they brought those traditions right out and made it a Catholic church, and they built their traditions, and Satan felt right at home. It was the very seat of Satan. He sat there and he loved it because it was just a ritualistic, and even though they were doing it in the name of Jesus, it was just a ritual going through the motions that we've got to force everybody to do it the way that we do it. And if you're in, you got to be Catholic. And if you're not, we'll kill you. You know, that spirit's creeping right in around the message too. They may not take a shotgun or an axe or burn you at the stake or feed you to a lion. But Brother Man said there's more than one way to kill a man. You can kill his influence. And, you know, a lot of us message people, we go around with our influence killers and we just stab this one in the back and stab that one in the back. And we stab them on Facebook and we stab them on Twitter and we stab them in the parking lots and we stab them in the living rooms and at the kitchen tables and around the family altar. Because we don't agree with their way of doing it. It's contrary to our tradition. You better watch that spirit. Sometimes I wonder if Satan doesn't try to get us stirred up at one another just because he knows that maybe some pastor in some other state is going to be the one that's going to be preaching in a service in 10 years that your child is going to sit in and receive the Holy Ghost. And if he can get you to ruin their influence enough before that child, maybe he can try to prevent it. Oh my, or maybe the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or the pastors or whoever it would be is going to be able to encourage them at a time of need. But because you don't like the way they set the temperature or the way they sing a song or you disagree with them on one doctrine out of about 973, you're going to just kill that influence and just stab it every meal, every parking lot, every get together. And you just continually stab at it and stab at it and stab at it until they sit there and think, well, why are we even going to this church if we can't have confidence in these men? Satan loves to do that. He loves to do that. Brother Branham said the hardest thing. Listen to this. Brother Branham said the hardest thing that God ever asked one man to do was to get another man to believe him. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, 1952. I never intend to have any routine drawn out, set out, just what the Lord leads. That's what we do. See, I think that's better. I've already found that it's better. Hey, amen. I hope we never get to the place where we've got to have a manual written out
And that, you know, Brother Layton comes to the pulpit and he knows just what to say because it's part of the program. And Brother Furman knows just what to sing because it's part of the program. And the musicians know what to sing and play because it's part of the program. We only have one program around here. That's follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Expectancy, 1952. See obedience. Do what he tells you to do. No matter what it looks like, do what he says do and God will take care of the rest of it. Don't you think? Oh, if the church could only get to a place where we just forget about the routine or whatever it is, just lose sense of time or anything else and just stay with God. Do what he says do. Well, I'll just turn off that timer tonight.
Blessing, Lord.
Oh, my. He's preaching on me now. Lose sense of time or anything else and just stay with God. Do what he says to do. We'd be a lot better off if we did that. Not just at church, in our own personal lives. Not just get in such a routine that God couldn't speak us to go and pray for this one or help that one or encourage that one. But whenever he would say, you think, oh, but Lord, you just don't know. He said something terrible about my family one time, and I just don't know. I don't know if I've got it in my heart to pray for him. Well, then you should probably find your way to an altar somewhere.
Amen.
Oh, my. I just don't know. You know, that's how Jonah felt. Lord, why wouldn't you just smite them? You know, they're our enemies, and you know, they've just been filthy and everything, and I was hoping you'd wipe them off the map, but you sent me down here, and here they've come and repented, and he sent down one to die because God was going to bless his enemies a little bit. He should have been saying, thank you, Lord. Here, I went down to this bunch of heathens that, you know, in my heart, I'll be honest, Lord, I didn't have a bit more grace for than a goat. But you came and did something in that revival. Even I wasn't expecting it. You turned the whole city to you. And here they are out here in sackcloth and ashes. Thank you, God. I didn't think, I know I'm not capable of doing that, but I didn't even know you could do that. But instead he sat there and said, I really wanted you to see you wipe them off the map, Lord. That's how we said a lot of times as message people. We want to be the judge, and we want to pick who gets in, who doesn't get in, off of what they said about our grandma, or what they said about our pastor, or what they did about this, or what they did. I thank God that he didn't put me in charge to pick who gets in and who doesn't. After going to Brother Collins' funeral yesterday, I have to admit, I thank God that he didn't let me pick who came and who didn't, because I wanted to stand up and say hypocrite a few times as some of them walked in the door. I can be honest with you, or I can be, you know, adjust my halo. But I had to pray through and say, God, help my spirit. God, help my spirit. God, help me to have the right attitude. We don't get to pick. We don't get to see down the end of the road and see what God's going to do with somebody and change their life and turn them around. Maybe somebody that Brother Bram said, there's some people you just can't hardly stand to be around. You get around them, he says, because they create that atmosphere, you know, of contention or hatred or bitterness or whatever it is. He said, you just almost hate to see them coming. He said, maybe they're good people. But that doesn't mean God can't get a hold of that person and turn them around. I don't know about you. I can't see what the end of the road holds. I can't see who that we think will make it right now. I can't see who's going to backslide and who's going to leave. I can't see that who that's running as hard from God as they can right now that God's not going to get a hold of and turn them around and bring them back. I don't have that looking glass to look down through and say, this one's going to be there and that one's not going to be there. I told my mom on the phone today, I said, I think we'll have a shock coming to us when we get over there, who's there and who's not there. Oh, if the church could only get a place where we just forget about the routine or whatever it is, just lose sense of time or anything else and just stay with God. Do what he says do. Amen. Don't you believe the church needs a spiritual leading like that?
Yes.
We've got our programs all drawn out and lined out and so forth. I don't believe it was ever intended for the Apostolic Church of God to be led by a program. I believe it's God's program to lead us by his Holy Spirit just the way he will.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe that tonight too.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that he'll lead one to do one thing maybe and one to do another. Thank God he didn't lead everybody to come to church at the open door, because God never asked me to be the pastor to the bride, and I certainly couldn't have handled it if he did. God didn't call me to do that. I thank God that he raises up other churches and other men and other works of God, because you know what we may rejoice about, somebody else might sit there and think, I just can't hardly stand to be there. That don't mean they're lost. That means they have a different personal preference of what the temperature should be and what songs we should sing and how the music style should be and all those things. I want to tell you tonight, that's not going to keep you in or out of the kingdom.
Amen.
There are certain people that like to worship a certain way. There are others that worship a different way. As long as we worship God to the best of our ability, it's not so much that we have to worship like somebody else. It's that we have to get to a spot to where, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Lord, if you want me to run the aisles, if you want me to walk the pews, if you want me to go up and snot and cry and boo-hoo and until I ruin my clothes, or Lord, if you want me to go and speak in tongues or dance or shout or whatever you want me to do, if you want me to sit here and just raise my hands and cry, no matter, doesn't matter who's looking at me, doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to yield myself to. Amen. We don't have to pattern off somebody else, and they don't have to pattern off of us. But we should all pattern off of the Word. The Power of Decision, 1955. You know, that's what's the matter with the church today. It don't get in the Spirit enough. We're too much in ourselves. If you'll just get out of yourself long enough, you say, well, you know, our church is, we have a regular routine. He says, oh, who cares about your routine? I wish you'd get out of the routine long enough to get saved anyhow. Amen. Get saved. Get out of the routine. We don't care about the routine. Get in the Spirit. Glory. Amen. Then you can see things. Oh, my. I don't care about the routine. Get in the Spirit. It ought to do something to us. It ought to get us out of our old bottled up nature. You know, Brother Bram said that man, we heard it on tape recently here at the church. He said that man came in to the prayer line. He got healed. He was blind, and he was sitting there in the car on the way home, and he began to be able to see the lights, and he began to rejoice, and he went into his old dry church and began to rejoice and praise God about it, and they kicked him out of that church, and he went down the road. He went into another church and began to praise God, and they kicked him out of that church. He said, oh, he just caused a disturbance all over the city. Thank God. A lot of them probably needed to be disturbed. Get out of their old ritualistic way of doing things. Forget about your routine. He said, I don't care about your routine. I want to say tonight, God doesn't care about our routine either. Amen. Sometimes we come, sometimes I have plans, sometimes I have notes, sometimes I have things, sometimes I think, well, I think the service is probably going to go this way, and God just loves to prove me wrong. God loves to come and just upset my plans altogether, and every time he does, I say, thank you, Lord, that was much better than my plans. Amen. Amen. It's okay to have a plan. I don't want to have a program to where we have everything set in place, but it's okay for Brother Furman to sit, you know, at his work on his lunch hour and think, Lord, I think this song would be good for the service and that song would be good for the service. It's okay to do that. I sit there and I study and I pray and ask God to lead me for the notes. And I think, oh my, I think that quote would be good and this would be good. Sometimes I never even get to them. Sometimes they sit, maybe I'll have a folder of 20 quotes for a series that I'm preaching on, and they sit there and I never use them, but I at least made some preparations. But if his plans are different than my preparations, then we throw the preparations out the window. Amen. It's okay not, we don't have to come up haphazardly and just scratch our head and say, well, I don't know what we're doing tonight. It's okay to have a plan, but don't focus the whole thing around your plan or your program, but be yielded enough to the Spirit that, Lord, if this isn't what you want, you just throw it all away and you come and you sing what you want us to sing and you preach what you want us to preach and you have us do what you want us to do. Lord, you take control of the service. That shouldn't just be at church. When we get out of bed in the morning, we should say, Lord, you let me, some of you sisters especially, Lord, you let me put on what you would want me to have wear. What would be pleasing for you for me to wear at work or at church or down at the schools or down here in the malls or at Walmart or wherever it be. You put on something on me that would be pleasing, that I could be a representative of the kingdom of God, that I could represent myself as a daughter of the King. When I put this on, you help me to wear what you would have me to wear. You help me to say what you would help me to say. You help me to do on social media or at my job or at my school what you would want me to do. Not my opinions, not my ideas, but what you want me to do. If we would only use social media the way that God wanted us to use it, it would be a blessing instead of a cursing. If we only used the internet the way that God wanted us to use it, it would be a blessing instead of a cursing. Brother Bram said the television could have been used for a good thing. It's what you use it for. I know there's some brothers that they just, you know, black everything out. But, you know, well, I don't know about you. I don't want to go back to the 10 cups like we had with the string on them and say, Bobby, can you hear me down there? Let me pull the string a little tighter. I thank God for technology, but we abuse it sometime and let it become a trap of the enemy. Blind Bartimaeus, 1959. Prophets, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. That's the office of the church. And these offices should be alive with the Holy Spirit, not set in by man, but set in by the Holy Spirit in each church. Now, I know most message people don't believe that, but I'm going to read it anyhow. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, these are offices that God set in the church. Man has nothing to do with it. God puts them in the church. Amen. I never commissioned William Layton or David Hoover or Trevor Eamon or Arnie Bird go forth and preach the gospel. God placed them. I never commissioned Furman Stutzman go and be a singer or let me put the gift of song leading in your life. God placed him. Amen. We don't place and we don't pick and we don't commission, but we do, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, be able to recognize a gift in somebody's life. Brother Branham, I heard him on a tape on the way to Finland. He said, we don't go and lay hands upon somebody to impart a gift to him. I was listening to the indictment in 1963, and he was ordaining there Brother Coleman and the different brothers that came up for that meeting to be ordained. And as he lays hands on him, he says, now we don't impart gifts by the laying on of hands. He said, but what we do is we recognize a gift in a man's life that God has placed there, and then we ordain them. There's a big difference. He said, man has nothing to do with it. God puts them in the church. Oh, we have, of course, some make-beliefs, and so I don't mean to say that critical, friend. He says, don't take me wrong. But I mean, in this day when we have a social gospels being preached so much that's just a regular routine to go to church, he says, and that's wrong. Amen. That's wrong. Yes. If you came to church just tonight because, well, it's Wednesday night and this is just what we do, that's wrong. We ought to come to church with expectations. God, what are you going to do tonight? God, what are you going to have for us tonight? God, I don't care who's speaking. I don't care what tape they play. I don't care who the guest minister is. I don't care what you lay on Brother Nathan's heart. I'm coming expecting. I have a need. I don't care what song Brother Furman sings. I don't care if we sang it last service. I don't care what song the musicians pick. I'm coming to worship you. Oh, my. I think we were standing as the family came in yesterday at the funeral. They begin to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Can I just be honest with you tonight? Is that okay? Or is that too much for you to handle? They begin to sing. I did it too, Brother Layton. He did that the other service. He said that they sang instead of sing or something like that. But it doesn't matter. You get what we're saying. As we begin to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, I saw some of them begin to slip up their hands. I was sitting in the seat of the scornful, and I begin to think, my, I can't believe they would even raise their hands as the family comes in after some of the things they've said and done to them and things like that. And I begin to sit in the seat of the scornful. And as the song began to go on, they begin to sing, when we've been there 10,000 years. I begin to think, you know, you didn't deserve to be there either. How do you know some of them ain't going to be there? You better watch who you're judging from the back. And they begin to sing a little further, and they begin to sing, praise God, praise God. And I determined I'm not raising my hands because I can't raise my hands with some of these people. They begin to sing, praise God. And I thought, God, I don't care who's raising their hands and what their reasons are, whether they're a hypocrite or whether they're doing it out of their own heart or whether they're doing it out of tradition or whatever they're doing it, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I don't feel like praising you right now. I don't feel like I've got the right spirit, even though I'm sitting here praying that you give it to me, but I'm going to raise my hand and praise you anyhow, because it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think or what anybody else is doing. You deserve the praise. Amen. That's how we should come to church. Amen. But God gets us to look across the row at, oh my, I can't believe they even came to church. Didn't you see what they put on Facebook? I can't believe they would even come. Didn't you hear what they said about so-and-so? I can't believe they even or would even appear in church. Don't you know what kind of life they're living? And we begin to look and judge across the row. They said this and she said that and he thought that and they did this. And we begin to look everybody out in the congregation and find fault with what we think, when we should just be lifting up our hands and saying, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. That's what we come to church to do. We don't come to church to straighten everybody out. It takes God to do that. Amen. I've tried to straighten people out. It doesn't work. But God can sure get a hold of people and do some mighty things. Amen. We should come to church and say, praise God. Not out of tradition, not to raise our hands just because what we do, this is what we do in this verse, or this is just what the song leader's doing, so I'm going to do it, or this is what Sister So-and-so's doing, and I feel like they're spiritual, so I'll do it anyhow. But we raise up our hands because he deserves the glory. Amen. We raise up our hands because he deserves the praise. Regardless of how our week has gone, regardless of what people have said about us, regardless of how tired we are, he deserves the praise anyhow. He deserves the glory anyhow. Regardless of what's going on at your job or your lack of your job or what's going on at your school or what's going on in your family, he deserves the glory anyhow. Amen.
He deserves the praise anyhow. Even if I'm so weak I can't hardly lift up my hands, I'll lift them as high as I can, Lord. I'll praise you with my voice as long as I've got a voice. That's how we should come to church. Not to look at everybody else and say, Brother Arnie, I remember one time, you know, I remember, and he remembers about me, and this remembers about that one. I remember this, and they remember that, and we begin to focus on the past, and focus on this, and focus on that, and judge, and point fingers, and you go out of church, and you think, bless God, those bunch of hypocrites, and you sat through a whole service and didn't praise God once. Who's the hypocrite? We don't come to church to judge one another. Oh, but the Bible said judgment will begin at the house of God. That's right, and it's God that does the judging. It's God that does the straightening out. Sometimes he comes and does it through the preaching of the word. Sometimes he does it through a hymn that begins to touch somebody's heart. Sometimes he does it through a testimony. Sometimes he does it through a sweet presence that somebody begins to reach across the aisle and say, look, I'm sorry, I've had a bad attitude about you for months, and Satan's tried to put a complex on me about you, but I just want to say in the presence of God here tonight that I forgive you and I love you and I want to see you over there. That's what we come to church for. Oh my. The worst sinner in the city, 1956. The trouble of it is today, we get too much ritualistic routine. Sinners can't get to God on them kind of grounds. He says, hallelujah. He says, and whatever he saith unto you, do it. 1954. Sometimes it might seem like if you see something different, we get a regular routine. Christianity has. We just have to stay right in that routine, or we're not Christians. We have to believe just this way, or we're not Christian. He says, that's too bad we get that way. See, we must be flexible to the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead us. God, help us to be flexible. God, help us to be flexible. Whatever he wants me to do, let me be flexible. Why? 1960, he says they're afraid of it. They're afraid they'll do something unusual. Afraid they'll get out of the regular routine. Afraid the church won't agree with what they're doing. Don't you think God doesn't fight people with this? Don't you think he doesn't fight pastors with this? Don't you think that he doesn't fight song leaders and deacons and trustees and things with this? That, oh, if we do this, it won't be popular. If we do this, what if the people don't receive it? If we do this, what if Brother so-and-so leaves? Well, we're not trying to make anybody leave. But if the Holy Spirit leads us to do something, we're going to do it regardless of who leads. We're going to be flexible to the Spirit of God. Amen. But we get afraid many times. Oh, what if the church won't agree with what they're doing? That's why we see a lot of pastors today doing some of the things that they're doing, because they've just floated along with the attitudes of the people with pacifiers in their hand. And they come with the case of about 200 and hand them out every service. And, oh, God bless you and God love you and we'll just baby you. And you want us to do it this way, we'll do it that way. And you want us to sing it this way, we'll sing it that way. I don't have any pacifiers in my briefcase. I've got some quotes and some scriptures, but I don't bring pacifiers to church. Amen. That doesn't mean that we don't love you and care for you and that we won't try to bend just as far as we can bend to show grace to you and try to encourage you. But I'm not going to let you be a hotbed plant and just say, oh, honey, God don't care how you dress. That's Satan speaking when you hear those things. Oh, honey, God don't care how you live. God don't care what you do. No, there's a lot of Christian preachers and even message preachers that preach it that way, but you won't hear it from here. They're afraid of it. They're afraid they'll do something unusual, afraid they'll get out of the regular routine, afraid the church won't agree with what they're doing, afraid their neighbors won't agree. What do you care about your neighbors as long as God agrees? As long as your experience agrees with God's word, what about it? Stay with that. You want me to sum up why I do some of the things that I do that seem controversial in a nutshell? This is why. Because if God leads me to do it, whether it's unpopular, I don't get up here to try to do things that are unpopular. I deal with enough stress and enough drama without trying to add to it. But if God leads me to do something, I'm going to do it regardless of what anybody says or what anybody thinks. If I can see it in the Word of God and God says do it, or God says say it, or God says sing it, or God says preach it, I'm going to do it. The worst that can happen, I figure, is that we go back to just me and Rebecca and the kids. And, you know, we'll have one more than we started with, because at least Ruth's here. So I'm a winner either way. Why? This is a long title that's a sermon inside of itself. Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? The Thunders Brothers would love that title, wouldn't they, Brother Trevor? Hey man, I don't know how they fit that on the label of the cassette tape, but it's good. It'll preach you a sermon just in the title. Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? 1957, he says, a Pharisee means an actor. You're only trying to act religious. If you had the real Holy Ghost in there, he'd put a love in your heart for every man that believed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gets right down to where we're living right here. If you really had the Holy Ghost, he'd put a love in your heart for every man that believed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say that agreed with you. He didn't say that agreed with your doctrine. He didn't say that agreed with your pastor or your grandma or your uncle. He said if you had the real Holy Ghost, he'd put a love in your heart for every man that believed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say we'd have to agree with him. Didn't say we'd have to pet him and baby him and say, that's okay, honey. But it would put a love of Jesus Christ in your heart. It would put a love of God in your heart that even if they're wrong, instead of stabbing them in the back, you can get down on your knees somewhere and say, God, I feel like in my spirit and everything I know of the word, this person is just as wrong can be. But they claim to love you and they claim to follow this message. I'm going to sure pray for them and put them before your throne. We'd be a lot better off if we could do that. Amen. The problem is most of us have too much Bryant or too much Hoover or too much Layton or too much Eamond or whatever it is. Too much Bird or too much Buckles or too much Andes or too much Eplin or Pierce or whatever. And we begin to bring up all these things that, you know, we've held from childhood. Well, this person hurt me and I can't ever trust anybody again. That's a sad way to live. That's a sad way to live. There's a lot of people that live that way. And you look at their life and what they've been through and you can understand why, but that doesn't make it right. Amen. Well, this pastor failed me and this sister hurt me and this brother said this against my family and I can never have confidence in anybody else again. Then that tells me that you can't have confidence in the Holy Spirit because he indwells human beings. And I can't give you a list of who has it and who can't, but I can tell you to keep trying until you find somebody that does, and then you can put confidence in that person. Amen. Amen. That doesn't mean that they'll never hurt you or that they'll never disappoint you or that they'll never let you down, but if they're really being led by the Holy Spirit, they won't do it intentional, and they'll come back around and make it right if they really got the Holy Ghost. But if we really had that love of Jesus Christ, if we really had the Holy Ghost like we should, it would make us pray for one another instead of talk about one another. It's time that we do away with some of our traditions. And well, bless God, this is just the way we've done it for 40 years. Well, who cares? If the Holy Spirit leads you to do a different way, you better not just do it because it's the way you've done it for 40 years. Right. Well, bless God, this has worked and this is what we're just going to keep doing. Well, God is raising up the people that have the Holy Spirit in this age and he's going to do whatever he wants with them, wherever he wants with them, whenever he wants with them, through whoever he wants. And I'm not going to put God in a box and say, God, you can only work the way we do it here at Church of the Open Door. My God's bigger than that.
Amen.
My God's bigger than that. God, you can only work through this gift, or you can only work through this person, or you can only work through this way. You can only speak to me through this way. God's bigger than that. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, through whoever he wants. Amen. Away with tradition. Away with routine. Satan loves those things. Satan loves to be able to predict everything we're going to do. Okay, Brother Nathan's going to get up and he's going to do this. And Brother Furman's going to sing this. And this one's going to do this. And that one's going to do that. Satan just loves that. He loves to be able to predict. This one's going to come in late. And this one's going to leave early. And this one's going to do this. And this one's going to do that. This one's going to say this. This one's going to pout. This one's going to shout. This one's going to do that. He loves to be able to predict that. And we let him do it.
Amen.
Because we get in our ruts. And we're comfortable in that little rut. But it's time to rise up above that.
Amen.
And go northward.
All right.
Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. He said, I hope you get out of your routine long enough to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. I hope we can get out of our routine long enough to see a lot more than that. See whatever he would have us to do or say. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale,
again. I know the master of the way.
Let's sing it this way tonight.
Sometimes we soar like an eagle to the height. Among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights. It can bring me low, but it won't bring me down. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I'm so thankful tonight that I know the maker of the rain. Oh, let my Jesus calm your storm. Make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Let's sing it this way again.
Sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. Among the peaks our soul can be found.
Let's just worship him tonight.
Some old unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights. Oh, it may bring us low, but it'll never keep us down. Why is it? Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind.
Aren't you thankful that you know him tonight? I'm so glad.
I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and I know he can.
Yes, he will.
Make your sun shine again. I know the master.
Oh, let's sing it again to him tonight.
I'm so glad that I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know
he's a personal friend of mine.
The rain, I know he can calm your storm. Make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Is that your desire tonight? However he would lead you, whatever he would lead you to do,
flow through.
Play that softly tonight. Sometimes we need a visual. Brother Branham said that God has no hands but your hands. No lips but your lips. No feet but your feet to take the gospel. Brother Branham said if he was standing here in this suit that he gave me and he would lay hands on you, he said he couldn't heal you. He's already did it at Calvary. We hear many times, we speak of if Jesus were to walk up and down the pews, walk up and down our aisles, deal with our life right where we're at, the things that we know that we're going through, the things that we know that we're facing. Sometimes it's hard to see him because he's in spirit form. And I'm no substitute. I'm a humble, miserable representative for him. But tonight I'm going to walk down that aisle to the back of the church and I'm going to walk back. And I don't want you to look and see Nathan Bryant, but I want you to look and say, Jesus Christ is walking by my pew tonight. Jesus Christ, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to give you a visible representation that you can lock something onto. More than just a spirit, more than just a feeling passing by, but that Jesus Christ is passing by your road tonight. Amen. Not because Nathan Bryan is here, not because any other man is here, but because he promised that he would be here. And when I pass by, you say, Lord, I believe you're passing by. I don't believe that's just Brother Nathan passing by, but I believe you laid it on his heart for a reason to do this tonight. And that when he walks by my road, that I'm going to accept that you're walking right there with him, that it's you that's leading him to do this, and that you just walked by my pew, and that you did it for a reason, that you laid it on his heart for a reason, that you're going to do something for me tonight. I know what my needs are. Brother Nathan doesn't know what my needs are. Maybe the other brothers don't know, but I have a need tonight, Father. And you're going to walk by my road tonight with Brother Nathan. In fact, you was walking with him all night, leading him to say things he didn't want to say or didn't think he was going to say. But you're going to walk right down my aisle with him. And I need you tonight, Father. As he walks by, I know you're walking with him. I'm going to reach out, not touch Nathan Bryant, but I'm going to reach out and touch the hem of the garment of that man from Galilee. You don't have to physically touch me tonight, but I do hope that you reach out and touch him as he goes by. I hope that you reach out and touch him as his presence fills this building tonight, that you can reach out and say, God, you know exactly what I need. You know exactly what I'm struggling with. You know exactly what I'm facing. You know the thoughts in my mind that Satan tries to place there. You know the discouragements. You know the disappointments. You know the battles that I'm facing that maybe nobody else knows. But you're walking down my pew tonight, Lord. You care about me. You cared enough about me to come to Calvary. And now you're walking by my aisle. And I accept it tonight. I accept it in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I believe he's walking through the church tonight. I believe he's delivering people tonight. I believe he's doing things for people tonight. I believe the presence of Jesus Christ is here to do whatever you have need of tonight. This isn't an emotional workup. This isn't the thoughts of a man or the words of a man. Jesus Christ is here. Whatever you have need of, he's here tonight. Sister Jennifer, he's here tonight. He knows about your needs. Sister Faith, he knows about your needs tonight. He knows what you have need of. Jesus Christ is here in spirit form, speaking to the church. He cares about you tonight. He knows right where you're at tonight. He knows right what the struggle is. He knows what the trial is. He wanted us to get out of our routine a little bit tonight to let us know that he cares about us. He cares about you, Sister Anna. He knows what you're facing. Brother Furman, he knows. Brother Bill, he knows all about it. Brother Anthony, Brother Arnie, Sister Stephanie, he cares about you tonight. I can call each of your names if you want to, but why don't you just read your name in there? He cares about you tonight. He loves you tonight. His presence is passing by. Don't just let it be another Wednesday night service. Let it be the night that God did something for me, that God changed my direction, that God changed the things that I was facing. Oh, maybe the trial will still be there, but he took the weight of it off of me. He took the burden of it off of me. Let me know I care enough about you to walk right down beside you. I care enough about you to speak through a man tonight to your need. I care enough about you to upset the program, to upset the ritual, to upset the tradition. I care enough about you to get your attention. He loves you tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel your presence here. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for caring enough about us, Lord, to come all the way from Calvary and give your life for us. We thank you, Lord, that you cared enough for us in this age to send a prophet to bring us out of traditions and dogmas and creeds and formal things of man and the creeds of man. Lord, help us not to go right back into them in our own message, creeds and dogmas and traditions. But Lord, help us. Lord, may you stir our conscience tonight. May you wake us up, Father. May this never become something that's common to us. May it never be just another Wednesday night or another Sunday, Father. Lord, there's maybe people sitting here that their decision tonight might be between life and death. Lord, it might be between eternity and a dark, cold grave to go to hell somewhere, Father God. Lord, we should enter every service sincerely, Lord, not knowing what you're going to do, or not knowing what you're going to say, not knowing how you would speak to our hearts, Father, but just recognizing that you promised that you'd be here. You said wherever two or three are gathered, Lord, in your name, that you'd be in the midst, Father. Lord, we should come with expectations, Lord, not whether Brother Nathan's going to be here, or whether Brother Layton or Brother Hoover is going to be speaking, or whether it's going to be a tape, or what it's going to be. We don't come under so much those expectations. Lord, we know whatever it is, you'll bless it, and you'll anoint, and you'll lead. But Lord, we should come under the expectations that you're going to be here, Father, that you're going to perform what's needed for that service. Lord, every service is different. Every sermon is different. Every tape is different. Lord, every prayer, Lord, we shouldn't just recite the same prayer over. It should be different, Father. But Lord, you'll lead and you'll guide for what it should be. You'll lead the song leaders and the musicians on the songs, Lord. You'll work through the body and orchestrate it exactly what is necessary for each service, for each need, for each person that is represented, Lord. If we could come with those expectations that, Lord, you're going to do something for me tonight personally. This isn't just Wednesday night. This is a meeting, not with Nathan Bryant, but we come to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we've set aside a little bit of time in our schedule, Lord, knowing that you're always willing to set aside time for us, Lord. And we set that aside to come and, Lord, to get away from the things of the world, to get away from the thoughts of tomorrow, and just to focus on you and your word for a little while so that you could speak to us. So that you can speak from eternity and have a personal relationship with us and assure us and encourage us, Father. Help it not to become common to us, Father. Help it never to become a tradition or a ritual that we just do this because it's what we've done for 40 years. But Lord, shake our nest tonight. Shake us out of our comfort zone. Shake us from our traditions. Lord, help us to be flexible to your spirit, I pray, Father. Lord, as this prayer request was laid here for the Simmons family, Lord. Brother Simmons' wife passing away on Friday, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with that family and comfort him. Lord, I shook his hand yesterday, Father, and I don't think I even knew at that point that his wife had passed. But Lord, I just ask you to be with him, encourage him. Lord, just strengthen his heart, Lord. When a loved one leaves the home, Father, Lord, as Brother Branham taught us about the wagon wheel, it's just another broken spoke in the wheel of that circle of the family, Father. But Lord, may you come and may you just mend and heal. And Lord, may you bring a peace that passes understanding to these families that have lost loved ones. Lord, may you be the one. May you be the father and the mother and the sister and the brother. Lord, to help those that are in need, to help those that maybe there's a missing part of their family, Lord. May you come and fill up that place in their home, Lord, where it's lacking. Lord, I just ask you to be with each one tonight. Lord, may you flow through us, Father. May you work through us. May you speak through us. May you lead us. May you help us to be flexible to you, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing it again together. Oh, flow through. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Why don't we just stand together and worship him tonight? Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Brothers would come, Brother Trevor, Brother Hoover. I know there's at least one person that's wanting to be prayed for tonight. Let's just sing that together while we do. Oh, flow through me.
Sanctuary.
to be a sanctuary, Lord, pure and holy. So tried and true, it's with out to you. kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you by reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know you're it's not too short that you can reach me too. And as I pray and I press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
Amen. After seeing some of the things that God has done lately for us, the healings and filling people with the Holy Ghost, saving the lost, and seeing what he's been doing on the trips, the different healings and things, and even over in Finland, the miracles that God did. Amen. Seeing how he moves in our midst. I wanted to sing this tonight. And I say boo devil. Amen. I know there's a lot of things that's said on the internet and said by people and said by different things that they think they know more than Brother Branham knew about it, but I'd like to sing this tonight to explain to them why I'm happy.
Oh, can't you see why? Oh, I'm so happy.
We've got something to be happy about.
Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4.
Let's sing it again together.
Can't you see why I'm so happy?
We're happy tonight, Lord.
For I've accepted the
one more time together.
Oh, can't you see why?
Oh, we love you tonight, Father.
For I've accepted the word of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's the
sing it again.
Oh, can't you see why?
Oh, we love you, Father.
For I've accepted.
We praise you, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
It's the nearing despair when he came to me there. Oh, and he showed me that I could be free. Oh, then he lifted my feet. He gave me glory complete. Oh, when he reached
hand. Aren't you thankful that he reached down for you tonight? Let's just worship him together. Oh, when he reached down his hand for me. I don't know about you. Oh, but he had to reach way down for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or his son. But then he reached down his hand for me.
Let's sing it this way together.
Oh, since the Lord gave me peace, these heavenly joys, they never cease. Oh, Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. Lord, guide my feet, hold my hand. Oh, grant with Thee that I may stand. Oh, for You reached down Your hand for me.
Think about it tonight.
Oh, how my heart it doth rejoice since I made him my choice. Oh, from the tempest to him now I flee. Now I can lean on his arm, so I'm secure from all harm, because he reached down his hand for me. Oh, since he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me.
Tonight, you can be dismissed. Let's sing it together as we go.
When he reached down his hand for me,
yes, thank you, Jesus.
This heavenly way. Oh, I was wretched, I was vile as could be. But then my Savior above, he gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand.
Thank you, Lord.
For
Satan.